This is the Sue Free Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving.
Do you wonder why you have to feel the things that hurt you? If there's a God who loves you, where is he now? Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it can't compare to the joy that's coming. So hold on, you gotta wait for the light. Press on and just fight the good fight. Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it's just the dark before the morning.
Here's your host, Sue Freeze.
I feel so blessed to be here today, and for those of you that don't know what the Sue Free Show is about, it's about seeking passion, purpose, and connection. Positive and negative things happen to us, and we have a choice to make whether to react or respond. Our decision will create our perspective in life and what we make of our life lessons. Wisdom comes from being honest to ourselves and others, listening to and applying the things that we and others have been through. Take a chance, share your life experiences to help change or mold a person's life, or plant a seed. Dare to believe and make a difference, to live your life on purpose for a purpose. Today we have a special guest that I just recently met, and we just had this automatic connection. Don't know how that happens, but when it does, you all know what it's like, right? You meet somebody and it's just automatically, you just want to talk more and you want to listen more and you want to get to know each other better. And that's what happened. My guest today is Randy Powell. He is a clinical director and he is a licensed marriage and family therapist and currently the clinical director at Journeys Counseling Ministry. Previously, he held the positions of director for the counseling center and campus pastor at Vanguard University. He earned his master's in marriage and family therapy from Cal State Fullerton University and Bachelor of Arts in Religion from Vanguard University. Randy is a licensed minister and a regular speaker at churches and conferences. Randy, I am so happy you're with us today.
Oh, thank you so much. This is fun.
Yes, it is. And I asked you, have you ever done anything like this before? And he said, no.
Never on the radio.
Never on the radio. And he's got a great voice for radio, doesn't he? Listen, Randy, you've been a psychotherapist and minister for almost 30 years. In your ministry and therapy, you have obviously interacted with many different types of people. What have you found that makes us all so different?
Wow, that's a wonderful question. I wish it were a simple answer. God's been so beautiful in how he's made us that everything impacts us in some way, and that impact helps to change us and make us unique as we grow. The initial phase is obviously started some way in a biological means, which is the very basis of who God made us. God made us and did not say oops. He said it is good. So the very basis of who we are is first upon our birth. Even in the womb, we are new, unique, and wonderfully made by God. That biological component then comes out and we have certain color eyes. We have a weight, a size that's already put into us by God. And that whole personality trait, humor, laughter, the way we interact, is part of our biological component of how God made us. But along with that comes other aspects, the impact of culture, the impact of our school, our education, our families, of so many other environmental things that come along to impact us and shape us as we go along. As we do that, we're also hurt, injured. This world is full of pain and traumas and difficulties. And in the midst of that, we have to put up walls and protect from those injuries and hurts. And all of those create us into unique individuals with the ways we interact with this world.
Absolutely. You know, you talked about the family and all of the things that happened to us. And I just think of birth order. You know, that's a whole study and in a whole hour or even more than that, just on birth order, you know, where we fall. And if you're, you know, if you're a sibling with many of the same sex versus having the different sex, you know, I have people that say, oh, I was raised with four sisters or four women in the house and I was the only guy. and that's difficult, you know, and they talk about that and how difficult, never get a word in edgewise or something like that. So, and people can be cruel, can't they?
Oh.
You know, I remember in junior high, it was so cruel in junior high. It's like, I didn't know what to do. I can just think personally, and I know all of us out there listening, you know, there's times in our lives where we just have people that aren't very nice, and that does affect us, both positive and negative.
Yeah, when we've been injured or attacked in some way, and belittled, assaulted, whether it's by a parent, family member, or classmates or teachers, the more the authority figure, often the more the impact is. But it hurts us, and that pain has to be protected some way. It's like a burn. If you get a burn or a cut, we put a protection around it. We put something around that injury to stop the pain, to stop it from hurting. And when we put those walls up or those protections in therapy, we often call them defense mechanisms. They are some way put up to stop the pain. And those injuries impact us, so we pull away. We stop getting close to something that may hurt us. If you're mean to me, or I think you're going to be mean, I then pull back. I put a wall up. That wall may come in the form of laughter, humor. It may come in the form of ignoring, not wanting to talk to you. But in some way, I'm going to put a bandage over that injury. I'm going to put something in the way so that you can't touch the pain that's been caused by someone attacking me or harming me emotionally. Now, that's a little different than physical, but it is an emotional pain that's just as damaging. And most of the time, we can't see it. So the walls we put up are not always able to be seen by other people, the injury, the hurt, the pain, and the walls and the protections we put up.
I hear people say sometimes that they react to something and they don't even know why they react the way they do. And it probably has something to do with what you're saying right now, is that there's times with me, it's like, wow, why did I do that? Or, you know, I've heard people say too, I never want to do what my mother did, but then they go ahead and do what their mother did.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Part of that's their personality. God made us and didn't say, oops. He said it is very good. So our personality, let's take an example in scripture and then come back to what you were saying. Peter had a unique personality. It was wonderful. He was impetuous, impulsive, cutting the ear off of the centurion. His reaction was based in his biological makeup that God made and made him with this impulsivity. Paul was more concrete, linear. He was more almost obsessive and compulsive. Those are personality traits. David had a more sad and happy part of who he was. That was what God made, gave him from birth. Now, how we are like that, like if we're impulsive, we're going to react differently to each other because of my personality. So my personality impacts how I react to you're hurting me, you're attacking me. I become an impulsive reactor. So that's where Peter became impulsive in his personality to a point that it was out of control. Right. And he had to learn how to control it. So each of us, we'll go to our personalities. I like to talk, in case you can't tell.
Oh, I know you like to talk, but what you have to say is so good. It's so good, Randy.
You and I both love to talk, and that's part of the gifts God's given us, but it, out of control can be a problem.
Yes, it can.
So how do we manage our personality that God has given us?
Good question.
When we're hurt, when we are out there and people say, Randy, shut up, you're talking too much. Does that mean I'm talking too much, or does it mean they don't understand my gifts? Do I know my gifts? How do I manage those gifts at those moments?
Which goes back to God created us for a specific purpose. And when he created us in the womb, he had a purpose for us to do. So those gifts and those talents, which I've talked to about in other shows, that's exactly what it is. It's knowing your gifts and knowing your talents. It's usually what you feel good about or what you do well in. Those are your gifts and your talents. If you're not sure what they are, there's places you can go to find out what they are also, aren't there?
Well, there's ways of doing testing and personality tests to say, what are my gifts and spiritual gifts? And we see a lot of those testing going on finding out our personality traits and our gifts in those areas. How do we manage those? How do we free ourselves? Romans says that we're each given different gifts. Mm-hmm. And we need to be proud and know that God made us and we are good at whatever those gifts are. And sometimes we don't know how to enjoy those gifts and how to celebrate those uniquenesses. So in our differences, we often can have conflict even among each other. My wife and I have such unique different personalities. She's detailed. I'm a generalist. If I was performing a wedding and I would come back from the wedding, she would say, what happened? And I would say, they got married. How many people were there? Oh, there were a lot.
Right.
What songs did they sing? Oh, it was love songs. Definitely love songs. What did they wear? Oh, it was nice clothes. Well, about that time, she's getting frustrated because she's wanting details. She's wanting to know what happened
color.
There.
Yes.
Yes. And I'm given as much detail as I'm capable of that moment. Now, to manage and know how to compensate for my personality so that we can connect, so that we can come together and enjoy our differences in our personality, I now take a program from the wedding, and I'll write down 250 people.
Wow.
I'll say,
this is good.
2-inch heels. I'll say spring dresses.
Which, here's by the way, I didn't mention that Cass, his wife, lovely wife, is here with him today. She's sitting right next to him. And Liz, his daughter, is here too, who's also continued in counseling and whatnot. And so it's very exciting to see this family together. They all came together and they're all supporting one another right here in this studio. And it's wonderful to have both of them with us too. In fact, Liz is videotaping us, so it's really fun. If you just tuned in, this is the Sue Free Show, KKLA 99.5, intersection of faith and reason. And we want to open up the lines if anybody's listening and wants to call in and talk to Randy or talk to Sue Freeze. The phone number is 888-995-5552. This is the Sue Freeze Show. I'm going to give you that phone number again, so get your pen and paper ready. Phone number 888-995-5552. 5552. And we're talking to Randy Pell, and we met at a function and we just started talking, and I was talking to him about boundaries, having healthy boundaries and knowing when to say enough is enough. And I don't know if any of you struggle with boundaries out there and knowing what to do in a situation. I know as a mother with discipline, as the kids got older, the discipline or the natural consequence needed to change, because a 2-year-old, you can't keep the keys from them. And a 16-year-old, you can't put them in the corner for a while to think about what they're doing. So natural consequences have to go with the age in which you're dealing with. And that has to constantly be changing. And I realized as a mother, I had to be ahead of that, meaning I know that these are the types of things that could be a situation that could happen. For instance, curfews or whatever it is, potty training, whatever the situation was, and there had to be a natural consequence. But as we get older, or we're dealing with, let's say, our sisters, brothers, husbands, wives, even employees, we need to come up with natural consequences for things that go wrong. And I'm not real good at that. I'm going to admit it. I'm not really good at that. Mm-hmm. And I was asking you at this dinner meeting, how to go about doing that, how to make it to where I could have natural consequences for boundaries being overstepped. And you had some ideas.
Well, yeah, there were some. At this moment, I remember talking about it some. The boundaries, and I'm forgetting at the moment what the exact questions you would ask at that moment. But the boundaries, if we enforce them rigidly, what starts happening is that we constrict people. We mm-hmm. limit them to their own natural learning uh-huh. of who they are.
Right.
So often the natural consequences allow someone to find out who they are. And we have to give freedoms, as Christ did to us, as God did in who we are, to find our mistakes, our errors, to step forward and learn. If we're not given areas to learn, we never can grow. And the mistakes have to come with those freedoms. If we just have boundaries, then we're protecting someone way too long, and we're actually stopping them from their development. And a great example of that would be a child when they're being raised. If we never let them get sick and they never build their immune system, they would eventually die, because the immune system is developed by illnesses and injuries, and it builds then a better ability to handle the troubles of life. With our children today, if we and with friends and others, if we don't allow some of the natural consequences of this world, then what happens is we don't build the strength to be able to handle the evils and injuries that are occurring in this world, the problems we face all the time. So how do we help someone with a boundary which protects them, and yet how do we at the same time allow them some injuries to build their strength to handle the evils, the troubles, the trials that arise in this world? And we have to know, when do we put a boundary around someone that's not safe ever? I love tigers. I immensely love tigers. However, I do not want to go in a cage with a tiger, because they're not safe. So if they're not safe, I put a boundary and limit of looking at them only from some distance. So we have to always ask the question, is this safe? Is it not? At what limit do we give someone, whether it's our own kids as we're raising them? How much do we give them? Are they able to handle the freedom and climb a tree? Are they able to go across the street in a crosswalk? Are they mature enough? And if they go across and get hurt some by tripping, not getting hit by a car, but tripping, do they learn something that helps them be able to handle life later? Now, within that, we teach values as we go.
Mm.
In other words, a 4-year-old, I may not let into the street, because they don't have the value of safety and of their own worth. If I tell them, I don't want you in the street because I value you, and I don't want you to be hurt because you're worthwhile, then I'm teaching them the value of how to drive when they're 16, because it's that people are worthwhile. So how you drive now is determined by the value that each of us are children of God.
Right.
So at 5, 4, I may not let them in the street. At 5, 6, 7, I may let them walk across the street if I'm standing there.
Right.
At 7, 8, 9, I may let them walk to the school. Now, each case that I do that, I'm a little more afraid of the harm or damage that could come. And it scares me as a parent. It scares me as a leader to give freedoms to people. But in the freedoms, I'm determining, are they ready to go to the next stage? Because they've learned the values that are necessary to make decisions at each new level of maturity, at each new level of responsibility. God gives us different responsibilities as parents, as owners of business in some cases, as managers, a variety of responsibilities. And he gives us more and more responsibilities as we demonstrate that we know how to make decisions based on values, that each of us are children of God and have value. So parenting is the same idea. Are we teaching our kids values? The values so that they have more freedom at 12 than they had at 5 as they learn the value is still that you are worthwhile. You are a child of God and everyone is valuable. So how you drive is important to be safe because everyone has value. So we teach the values.
Very good, very good. And for those listening, I'm sure they got something out of that, Randy. This is the Sue Free Show, KKLA 99.5. Phone number still is 888-995-5552. You're listening to the Sue Free Show, and we're talking to Randy Powell. JourneysCounseling.com is his website. So you can go there and get more information about what he does. And I find you, Randy, fascinating. It seems like psychology has always looked at family history as the cause of many problems. Have you found this to be the main cause of marital or family problems or issues such as drug or alcohol abuse?
Oh, man. We often look at a family as if that's the main cause, and we have historically. When I was first in this field, they taught us to always go back to family systems, family issues, and we often ask, do you love your mother? Those were the basics that we started mm-hmm. with. But we're really made of personalities that are God-given. We're made of perspectives, which is the way we look at life. It's the way that we understand what is happening in this world. It's our culture. It's our training. It's our education. It's our family. It's all of that makes our perspective. And then we build protections against the injuries we have in this world. So our personalities, our perspectives, and our protections all impact how we actually interact with this world. Now, one way to think of it is nature, personality, God-given. It's the basic core of who we are. Perspective, that's learned. Mm-hmm. It's learned as we are growing up in our culture. It's learned by teaching and training and experiences. Protections are what we put out there to stop the pain, to stop the hurt that occurs. Each of those are things we do and we interact with to make us who we are. An example would be I had a female client years ago who came in and she was obsessive compulsive. And she had tried meds, tried all types of helps to stop her obsessions. She had to wash her hands every day. She had to put all her hangers on the hanging rod exactly 1/4 inch apart.
Wow.
And she had tried meds and psychology and prayer, and nothing had helped yet. So she came in, and after we talked, I gave her an assignment. I said, please go out and list everything you get done because of your obsession. When she came back with a whole list of beautiful things of all that she got done. So we celebrated this.
Mm-hmm.
Then I said, what happens because of your obsessions? And she listed the interactions with friends and family, the stopping of being able to enjoy life. Those are what we want to work on. Now, the obsessions, as we studied and started talking to her, we found out that her personality is naturally orderly. And her personality wanted things in order in general. Also, her dad used to say, everything has a place and everything will be in its place. So she learned to put everything in its place. And finally, her dad would beat her if it wasn't put into place. Mm. So she built a protection against the injuries. Probably 20% of her obsessions came from protection because she didn't want to get hurt anymore. Another 25, 30% came from her belief that everything needed to be orderly. And 50% thereabouts came from her personality. So how do we manage the personality, not get rid of it? By trying to do meds sometimes, not that that's wrong, but knowing when to take the medications. When she was taking some medications, she was getting rid of a personality God gave her. And we don't want to get rid of the personality. We want to manage it. We want to enjoy the personality God gave us. So when we look at our histories, that's only one third of who we are. That's only a part, whether it's our families, whether it's the place we live, the experiences, whether we've been harmed, hurt, victimized. That's only one third. Another third is our basic personality. And another third is how we've developed protections to stop from the hurt of this world.
You know, I look at my personal life, Randy, and I look at the things that have happened in my life. And there's been a lot of things that have happened to me, but I look at it as if it's an opportunity for me to help other people, number one. Mm-hmm. And it has made me stronger. It has made me, I believe, a better person because I can be more sensitive to people if they're going through situations. You know, death of a mother, death of a father. Mm-hmm. If somebody's never experienced that loss, they can be concerned and they could be caring, but do they have the same deep heartfelt loss that somebody that's actually gone through that has felt? You know, and I know there's seven stages, I think, to grievance mm-hmm. and, you know, loss. And I've lost both my mother and my father, and sexual abuse and rape. And, you know, just all of those things cause us. We have a decision to make every minute of every day. How are we going to relate to ourselves? How are we going to look at ourselves in the mirror and evaluate what's going on with us? And how are we going to relate with other people? And like you said, the things that we go through in our lives determine that, but we have a decision to make, don't we? And so my question to you now, Randy, is can we change? You know, if we've been a certain way, and because of the things that have happened, I know there's some people that are victims and they feel like, you know, they are the way they are because, you know, they had this happen and that happened. We do have a choice, though, to decide whether we're going to stay that way or we're going to make a change in our lives, don't we?
I think there's a lot of choice in there. If we back up and understand change in general, you cannot stop your personality. You cannot change it. You can manage it.
Okay.
If you try to change the personality, which is what we've done sometimes in psychology, and we've tried to put medications out there or change someone's basic personality, that'd be like trying to make Peter not this impulsive, spontaneous person, or Paul this concrete, intelligent, thinking person. We cannot change the personalities God's given us. We can manage them. We have to be able to correct, though, the things we've been taught that were false, like growing up where someone says you're stupid, a father, a mother that says you're no good, or it's been taught some way. Well, that's a lie.
Right.
That needs corrected.
Right.
That becomes a perspective of who we are. We can change lies. We can change and correct misinformation that's been put upon us that isn't real. We can also heal and cure injuries that we have put walls and boundaries up. So the injuries and boundaries that we put around are pulling away, are laughing and not interacting with others. We can pull away because those are injuries and protections like bandages. And what we have to do is take those bandages off and clean the wound.
And get healed.
And heal it and put a salve on it. That makes a change on how I'll interact with the world. It's like when you cut your finger and you notice a paper cut, which is a minor cut. It seems
Ouch.
Like you hit everything and it hurts.
Really?
Well, emotionally in life, we get paper cuts and we get deep wounds. And then we change how we interact with this world because of the wounds that we try to protect against the pain that's coming. So you can change the pain by curing it and helping to heal it and diagnosing it properly. You can also correct lies and misunderstandings. And then your personalities you can manage because those are often out of control. What happens on how to relate to others becomes, I may not know how you experience the pain, but I can see your pain and join you in the middle of your pain because I know you have a personality that God gave of intimacy, of hurt, and of joy. And I learn how to join you emotionally in the middle of your pain, even if it doesn't affect me in the same way, because we're each different and unique.
Right. So what you're saying is that you can relate to other people. So when someone comes to you or one of the people that you have on your staff, we're going to have to break for a second. So we'll have to come back after the break. But I'm going to ask the question and then we'll see what happens. But there is a way you guys go about this. Mm-hmm. I've been to counseling numerous times, you know, with especially mostly marriage things, you know, just learning, you know, how to deal with our differences, as you put it. Is there a way in which you help somebody go? After the break, we'll get back to this, but a way to go back and figure out what's causing the problem. After the break, we'll come back and we'll reconnect. So stay with us after the break.
What would happen if your computer network went down? It happens every day to businesses large and small. Imagine losing financial records, days of work, or even your entire client database. How damaging would that be? Imagine how different your life would be if you could find out about a computer disaster before it happened. With NSI's free network analysis, you'll get a technical specialist who will not only warn you about any possible threats or system issues, but you'll also get a full inventory of your systems along with a site performance evaluation. And at the conclusion of your analysis, we will sit down with you to explain exactly what we have discovered in terms that make sense. This valuable offer is available for a limited time to all business owners. Wouldn't you like to have peace of mind that your technology is stable and secure? Find out why hundreds of companies, like yours, choose NSI as their technology partner. Don't rely on luck. Let NSI help. To schedule your free analysis and see how NSI can help your business strengthen its technological base, call 866-671-0089, extension 204. That's 866-671-0089, extension 204. Call today and find out what it's like to have a true technology partner working for your business. Call 866-671-0089, extension 204.
They're called the stealth bugs of the insect world, termites, every homeowner's nightmare. But a lot of KKLA listeners don't lose a moment of sleep over termites because of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. They are California's leading ecological alternative termite control company. You see, Ecola gets rid of termites by using family-friendly, poison-free alternatives like Electrogun that seeks out and eliminates the little rascals, microwave process for small areas, and their new Ecola Heat using clean, hot air for entire walls. No embarrassing circus tent over your home. No poison gas, no bagging your food, or moving out for a couple of days. Ecola Termite and Pest Control gets rid of termites effectively and quickly. So call Ecola at 800-332-BUGS, 800-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS. This is the Sue Freeze Show.
So the question was, we've got Randy Powell with us, and the question was, how do your therapist or how do you get to the root of the problem when somebody comes to see you? You know, there's a lot of things that are happening, It's hard to get to the deep down root. Mm-hmm. And you got to pull that root out in order to have healing or to have success on going forward. And I know there's a lot of marriages that are struggling, that they've lost the joy, they've lost the passion, they've lost the romance in their marriage. And I really, my desire is for marriages to be warm and thriving and be everything they can be, that they love each other. And I can always tell when someone's been married a long time and they're not happy, because in a restaurant, they're not touching each other and they're not looking at each other and smiling. They're just eating. They're mm-hmm. just eating what's on the menu, and they're just eating. And that's so sad for me to see. And I just want so much more for those married couples, because God wanted more for those married couples, didn't he?
Oh, yes.
So how do we get to the root of the problem? You've got two dynamics, two people. Well, actually more than two dynamics. I'm sure you've got a lot more than two.
Many more.
Yes.
Well, there isn't one route that would fit all. So we have to take each situation and understand what health is first. So that as you see what's health, then you start looking backwards to say what hinders someone from getting to the health. So if we talk about marriages as health first, that's causing the problem for them not to be intimate. What is it meaning to be caring for each other, to be in a loving relationship? I would say that's the sharing of one's hurts, pains, joys, sorrows, dreams, goals, fears, anxieties, worries, concerns, accomplishments, failures, successes, daily living. It's in sharing that, enjoying that, and being together that we then start knowing that we have a close, intimate relationship. But with all intimacy, it's intimidating. It's scary because I have to be vulnerable. Vulnerability is open to attack. So the moment that I am vulnerable, I could be hurt. If I've been hurt, if there has been injury, whether it's been yelling or fighting with each other, or growing up childhood injuries, or cultural, circumstantial injuries of other people making fun of me at school, I then start closing off and not allowing for vulnerability to occur. When that is happening, then I don't connect as well with my partner because I've protected myself. I have covered myself up and not been sharing at all those areas I just described of intimacies, of hurts and pains, joys, sorrows, dreams, goals, fears, anxieties, worries, concerns, accomplishments, failures, successes, daily living. As those stop and we don't share in those, we no longer have intimacy. We're roommates.
Right.
And then we're hurting because we cry to have a relationship. Now, Tom Hanks, in the movie Castaways years ago, when he was on the island, we all recognize his pain, his loneliness, his isolation. We hurt for him. When he was there, he stopped the pain by having a volleyball, Wilson, and put hair on it and started talking to his ball, the volleyball, Wilson, and he started feeling closer. We all crave someone to hear us, to know us. So what we start looking for is what hinders each of us from that intimacy, from connecting. Is it past injuries? Is it past experiences? Those need to be cured and healed. Is it our personality differences? Like I began earlier about my wife's personality is more detailed. Mine's the generalist. Is that what's hindering our intimacy? So when she's detailed, I get angry. And if I'm being general, she gets frustrated. Are we not connecting at that level of our personality differences? Are we not connecting at our cultural differences? Christmas gifts. Do we open them on Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, or even have Christmas gifts?
Right.
If you've been raised in a family that they were opened always on Christmas Day and the other one was always raised with Christmas Eve, you're going to have a fight. So to get to the root of the problem, you have to look at personalities and what is the differences. Is that hindering connection? You have to look at perspectives. Is that what was learned and it needs retaught? Or is it a protection where I pull away because I'm hurting in general and I'm scared to listen and hurt with you because I've been hurt and yelled at, demeaned, belittled in some way? So the root of the problem, the way we go about it, is looking at someone and helping them discover their personalities, God-given personalities, and how do they celebrate them together, enjoy them, and have fun? What stops them from enjoying each other's personality? And what injuries have occurred. And we are looking at that to heal and cure that then. So that would be the intimacy to get to the root of the problem. And it takes some time in all three areas, personality, perspective, and protections.
How much time, if somebody was going to come and do therapy, how much time? I mean, I'm sure that's kind of individual basis.
That's a great question.
But how much time, you know, because I know there's people listening that are at the end of the rope.
Right.
They've been in a marriage for a long period of time,
right,
and it's dead. And they're asking themselves the question, what should I do next? How, you know, what do I do? Should I stay? Should I go? And I asked you that question. When someone has a tough decision to make, whether it's changing jobs, selling their company, you know, getting out of a tough or a bad marriage, how do they go about, or how would you help them in deciding whether to stay, go, change jobs, sell the company? How would you help them with that? Is there a formula that you would have 10 questions on this side and that side, pros and cons? You know, things that are not emotional are so much easier to come to a decision, aren't they? But when there's emotions and there's two people involved, there's a lot more dynamics going on that makes it a lot more difficult to know how to handle it. How do you go about helping them make a decision?
That's a great question that...
A whole nother hour?
It'll be another hour, easy. Yes. But let's see if we can take some quick overview.
Okay.
Because you had two questions in that. How long would it take, and how do you make decisions?
Right.
How long, first off, is determined often by which of the three parts. Is it your personality not clicking? That one's relatively easy to work together and celebrate and see how God made us. if it's perspectives that have been learned, some of those are easy to correct and help learn and teach what are the differences in perspectives of opening Christmas gifts or what other things are different. If it is protections, now we need to cure it. So if there's been damage, if there's been someone who's been raped, molested, abused, you have much more healing that has to occur before they feel safe to have intimacy, vulnerability. So the time frame is determined by the diagnosis and understanding what the problems are. Years ago, I was feeling very, very tired after my college years, and I thought I was out of shape. So I started working out harder. I've been an athlete all my life, so I thought working out, since I was tired, I felt tired moving around, I didn't sleep well, I needed to work out. So when I was working out harder, I became sicker, and I found out I actually had mono.
Oh, boy.
Now, the symptoms are identical. Mono, out of shape. But if you work
out... Quite different,
Quite different. Your treatment plan is drastically different.
Absolutely.
So the same idea occurs here. We need to go and find what the issues are. Sometimes some teaching that we've taken and applied to an injury in a marriage, to a problem marriage, the teaching may be very, very good, but misapplied. So we have to know what's the personality differences, our perspective differences, our protection differences, and that needs cured or corrected or compensated. So those are the three things that would help us diagnose to know how long.
Okay.
Now, on what we should do in these situations, that's a whole different question that arises of what purpose does it serve? So when we are making a decision of staying in a marriage, leaving, going to a new job, often we have to ask the question, what purpose is this serving if I leave? Is this going to go where I serve God? Is this going to build my marriage? Is this going to save my kids? Am I in an abusive relationship? Will that help and make it a safer place for my children, for me? Will I be free to live to what God has called me to be? What purpose does it serve to make this decision that I have in front of me? As we answer the question, what purpose does it serve in my business, this decision, then as I answer that, the question helps me to make a decision of what direction to go. But it is hard to make that decision based on only emotions, because if I'm hurting, if I'm sad, I don't always know how to see where to go. Our brain starts shutting down at that point, and we are not able to process as well. So we have to kick the brain back into gear and working, and one way to do it is ask the question, what purpose is this serving to make this decision? And then we have a second part of that, and that's a faith answer. So when I make a decision to, whatever it is, to move to a new job, to stay in a marriage, to leave, I have to say how much of this is being done by faith, because there is a spiritual element to who we are.
That's true.
And one of the ways that I recommend for people to do is to take their decision, pray over it, put it on an altar in their backyard with rocks. Pray over this and burn it as an offering unto God to say, here's the decision I'm making, Father. I give it as an offering unto you. Please let it be an offering as a sweet aroma to you. And in so doing, Lord, help me know if this is the right way. Because my God in heaven, my Father, loves each of us as we are. He is a Father that's not wanting the worst for us, but the best for us.
Amen.
So we pray and say, Lord, help me. And this is my decision at the moment, the best decision I can make, given my humanity, my fears, all that I am. And I put it on the altar and I say, Lord, I give it to you. Now please show me the right direction. So it's a combination of our humanness with our mind and our spirituality with trusting God. One of the things we have to keep in mind is that God loves us as we are. And we often get confused of what that means. Let me give a quick metaphor, if we have time.
We have time. Let me give a number, just in
please.
Case somebody wants to. Can you hold on your thought?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, good, because this is really good stuff. 888-995-5552. This is the Sue Free Show, KKLA 99.5. Again, the phone number, I'd love to hear from you. 888-995-5552. Okay, Randy, back to you.
We often misunderstand God's love, and it hinders us from making a decision because we want to please God so much and make our decisions of staying in marriage, leaving, going to counseling, not going to counseling, seeking out help. Whatever decision we make, we want to make sure we're doing it to God's will, and it gets confusing whether we're going to please Him or whether He will be angry at us. I have two children. When they were little, I would tell them to clean their room. Often, one would clean the room well, One would not.
I can relate.
Yeah. And I often didn't clean my room well.
Yeah.
And when I would inspect and one room was clean well, I would be pleased with that room. The room that wasn't clean, I would not be as pleased with that child. I would send one out and let them go play. Give them a little more privileges because sure. I was pleased with the room.
Reward.
The other, I would often help them clean the room or show them how to clean it. Now, at the time of cleaning the room and inspecting it, I find one room clean, one room dirty. At that moment, a robber breaks into the house, comes to us, puts us all into one room together, my wife, myself, my son, my daughter, puts a gun to the head of each of my children and says,
goodness.
Choose one to live.
Oh, no.
Which one do I choose to live? The one that cleaned the room or the one with the dirty room?
Oh, my goodness. Doesn't make a difference.
Well, it's a dumb question.
It is.
Because
totally.
I cannot choose. I would rather them kill me.
Right.
I would rather them
Absolutely.
Pull my arms out of my socket.
Right.
I love my children equally,
right.
even though I'm more pleased with one than the other. And that is a human's love. How much more so does the Father love each of us? He does not want the robber, evil, Satan, to come in and shoot us and put the gun to our head. He wants to protect all of us, even when we have not done always the best decisions and cleaned our room. So what we're really trying to do is do intelligent, wise decisions while still knowing we're loved by God, while still knowing that God loves us as we are. So when Peter denied Christ, Jesus was very clear in saying, I love you and I know you have weaknesses and I accept you as you are and you're still my rock. In the middle of your humanity, in the middle of your weaknesses, you are my rock. So in a marriage, how do we embrace our humanity, our weaknesses, and at the same time keep growing and knowing that we are loved while not always being able to please each other? Those decision-making, the whole process of decision-making is really tough at that moment because we're mixing humanity and perfection of spirituality with God.
Sounds like we have a caller on the line. Ruth, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so what is your concern, Ruth?
I have a great-grandson, age 10, in Nevada. His father's in jail for alcoholic problems, but he lost his mother, and when he lost his mother, my daughter, he had troubles. And now with this little guy... Yeah, it's a big O.
Yes.
You said he's 10?
Yes.
Okay, so
and
the father...
For the last 2 years, it's been touch and go, in and out of help, you know, with the city. Because, actually, my daughter had been raped.
Oh.
Hmm.
At 15. That's her son.
Oh. Hmm.
And we had been in New Orleans helping. And she had a lot of love, no prejudice.
You know,
but
Ruth.
The little guy is, it's an intermarriage, it's an interracial.
Yes.
And he's as cute as he can be. And so is my grandson.
Yes.
So how can we help you, Ruth? Or what is it you're wanting from us?
It's hard, it's really hard to keep emotions under control when you know that somebody that you love and is part of you is sitting on a hot seat. He's threatened to get a gun.
Well,
my grandson has.
Wow.
Yeah. And I know it's, you know, when your child is taken away and he can't quit drinking. He's tried. Anyway, okay, I'm listening. I'll be quiet.
No, you're in a lot of pain, Ruth. You love your grandson immensely, and he's a child of God with great value, and no matter where he came from, be it in rape or not, the fact is he has value and is a child of God.
Right.
And we all know that. And sometimes the hardest thing we do is to look at those situations and realize we have no control. Jesus felt that when he said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I've longed to gather you as a hen would gather her chicks, but you would not. That's a broken heart. What you're experiencing right now is this broken heart without having power or control to do direct influence on your grandson's life. So at this point, we go more to a spiritual part and we pray for him.
Right.
We say, Lord, this is your son. Please send others into his life. Please send others to
help him and love him, and you send notes, you encourage him, and we look for God's influence in his life that way. And that's a broken heart that you're experiencing, and for you, that's a difficult task as Christ felt. And we go to our Lord, and we talk to him so that we can feel like his presence is with us in the middle of our pain. It's not a simple answer, Ruth, that you're facing, except to pray for your grandson. And we pray that others will come into his life that are children of God to love him and care for him and let him know how much value he has as a child of God, even though he's been in very painful, painful situations and circumstances.
Okay.
Sorry to hear what's going on. Do you mind if I take 1 minute and just pray with you right this second?
No, I don't mind at all.
Okay. Father in heaven, right now, you know the pain that Ruth is experiencing, the love of her grandson. You know the pain that the grandson is feeling at this moment. So we do seek you out as you, Father God in heaven, to send people into his life, to touch him, to let him know his value, his worth, that he may know that he is your son, he is your child, and he needs to know that there are people who love him and surround him with that presence of your very spirit. And the same with Ruth right now. Give a peace to her heart at this moment, Lord, that she may know that you understand what pain is, what sadness is, and sorrow. May she feel your presence even at this moment, Father. We ask this in the name of your Son. Amen.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ruth, for the call.
Bye.
There's so many hurting people out there. It just breaks my heart. We have another caller who doesn't want to be on the air. Her name is Joyce. And she says she just wants a little hope. She's 58 years old and only works part-time. And she's getting ready to leave her husband because she realizes it isn't working out. So we'll say a little prayer for you too, Joyce, so hang in there. And we're going to do that at the end of the show. Randy, right now, if our personalities, perspectives, and protections cause us to be unique individuals, as you've said, what have you found to help people be healthier in our relationships with each other?
Wow. Yeah. To be in relationship with each other is to learn first to celebrate our differences, to celebrate our uniquenesses. Those aren't always easy to do. My wife and I, again, as a wonderful example, are so different. How do I celebrate her individuality? God made her. And since we know he didn't make a mistake, how do I celebrate something that she experiences in a different way? We often can do it with food. I understand that she likes one type of food much better than I do. I love pies, all type of pies. I love ice cream with all sorts of toppings.
Me too.
She doesn't necessarily love pies. Now, we understand those differences, and we do not have conflict on the differences often of food. But how about how we enjoy what TV show? How about the differences of music? She was an opera singer for years. She loves music. I can enjoy music, but it doesn't bring a passion to my being. She likes to shop. Shopping is painful for me. But I can go with her shopping because I enjoy her pleasure, her personality, her uniquenesses. I go to an opera and to music and enjoy her pleasure in the music. So that celebrating differences is knowing how to be with the other person in the uniquenesses God made in them. So part of our growing together and connecting is in those personality differences and celebrating them, helping to heal through our injuries. And also looking at how we are different in our raising, in our unique differences of our raising, childhood. And
when you're in a marriage and both parties aren't showing a desire to serve the other, put the other person first, which I think is a part of intimacy, is putting the other person before yourself, and it's showing love and consideration. And that person is prideful, or whatever you want to call it, and doesn't accept responsibility for wrongs. For instance, you know, if you're in a relationship where someone just has a hard time saying, I'm sorry, and I'm going to try harder next time. What do you say to the person that's, you know, hanging in there,
right?
But the other person's like, you know, do what I say, don't do what I do, and that type of thing?
Oh, those are difficult situations. If they are just taught the correct thing and they apply it and go to some classes, some books that are out there, wonderful material, and they apply it and they start connecting back to vulnerability and connecting, then we don't worry about it, of course. It's the ones that don't change.
Right.
So what do we do with that? Often, we have to look at what caused them to not change. Why is someone not putting the other as important? Why are they not accepting their own wrong? Often that's their injuries. That's a wall they've put up, and they are hurting so deeply that they're being an aggressor. They're being a denier of their own issues. Mm-hmm. But that's one of the protections that occur out of their deep injury. Now, Christ recognized that when he hung on the cross and he said, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do."
Right.
Implied in that is, I do know what they do. So when we understand what motivates the other person to attack and hang us on a cross,
right,
when we understand why they're doing it, we have more tolerance, but we need to heal it. So often when someone isn't accepting their own wrong, when they're not admitting it, when they're not caring properly for others, it's mm-hmm. often out of their own pain and injury, and they need healed from that. That's why we often have counseling, is to go there to have someone help them be healed so that they can be vulnerable. The real issue is they're not connecting at that vulnerable state.
Right.
To be connected vulnerably is to be able to say, I'm wrong. But to do that, to say I'm wrong some way, is to open myself up for the other to hurt me, mm-hmm. for the other to say, yes, and you anger me.
Right. Right. And even in business, identifying the situation, you know, you can't find the solution unless you identify what the problems are, right? And
correct.
Same with, you know, parenting and whatnot, you know. I always say, let's look at the person in the mirror first. You know, mm-hmm. let's take a look at us first. What part are we playing in this picture? And then once we've identified that and we've dealt with that, if things don't change, then you've got a better person looking in the mirror. You've
right.
got that person's better.
Right.
But the other person's still not making a change and not doing anything to make it better. So what would you say to people that, you know, like Joyce on the phone right now, she's 58 and it's not working out. And I can just imagine what's making it not work out. But let's just say it's this. What would you say to those women or men that are in a relationship to where it seems as though the other person doesn't seem to want to jump in with both feet and desire the same thing, as to have a healthy, loving, kind relationship?
One of the most difficult decisions any of us make, and that Christ has modeled for us, is the excommunication decision. When do we put them outside our circle of relationship?
Mm-hmm.
Let me take a little metaphor. Jerusalem and the Israelis, the Israelites, had Jerusalem, and they had the temple. If someone came in and desecrated the temple, they would take them outside the city and stone them.
Mm-hmm.
We are the new Jerusalem. We house Christ. We house God inside each of us. If it's being desecrated, we need to take people outside our temple, outside our city, outside our being.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an excommunication. When does that occur is not the easy answer.
Right.
So for Joyce and others that way, when do we ask someone to leave our area, our life, our being, our area of great value? That's not an easy decision, but it's a form of excommunication that we have to make those decisions because they're damaging us, or our children, or harming others. And I have to put them outside our area of influence that's of value. As the children that house the New Jerusalem, as we house God, we have value. So when we are being devalued and harmed, when do we push someone away and say, you're harming me, and I need you to be away from the harm you're causing me, my children, or others of value? I don't think there's an easy answer that we can just say, here's the way to make that decision. We need to seek out help from our pastors, from professionals, therapists, and others who are Christians and know how to pray with us and know how to look and help make that decision. When do we make that decision to protect against more damage and harm?
Very good. And it isn't an easy decision, and it's a tough line that we have to draw in the sand sometimes. So, Randy, in parting, what would you want to say to people that are listening right now? And I know you deal with people that are hurting all day, every day. I mean, first of all, how do you keep so happy? You know, because you're dealing with people that are having, you know, difficult times. And just like that, the grandmother there, I mean, it just, you know, tore my heart. I mean, I was just so emotional there for that time. And how do you deal with that every day? You know, you walk away after hearing all these people's troubles. That's got to be really tough.
Christ came to give us life and life more abundantly.
Amen.
An abundant life is to know how to cry, hurt, ache, fall apart, and agonize with each other. It's also to know how to rejoice and celebrate. Paul says, mourn with those who mourn, rejoice with those who rejoice. The more we really are free to be vulnerable, open to attack, share with each other at a mourning level, at a sad level, at a grieving level, the more we also know how to be joyful and rejoice and celebrate at the joyful level. The more we pull those two sides in, out of protection, out of injury, out of hurt, the more numb we become in life.
Mm-hmm.
I praise God that He gives me an opportunity to cry and ache and hurt with people, because out of that also comes the opportunity to rejoice, celebrate, and have great joy.
Mm.
And it's the combination that brings us a full life, not where we try to live only to one side. If we only live to joy, we're deceiving ourselves. If we only live to sadness, we victimize ourselves.
Right.
When we allow the two to blend in a paradox, we now have a joyful life that's more abundant.
So would you like to take a little time here and let's just pray for those that are listening? How do you feel about doing that?
I would enjoy that. Oh, I would enjoy that immensely.
Oh, gosh. Okay. We have 4 minutes left, so it doesn't have to be a four-minute prayer.
No. I can.
I bet you could.
Father, what a privilege you give us to talk to your children this way. We, each of us, are your children, and we have value. Everyone out there right now who is listening, they are of value to you. They are your children. They are hurting. Many are healthy and well. There are those who are scared, frightened, uncertain of what decisions to make, uncertain of what direction to go. They've been injured. They've been harmed. They've been sinned against. They don't even know how to heal the injuries. And in some cases, they don't even know how to recognize the harm. They know they're not functioning as you created them to function, Father. So I pray in some ways, this ministry here, this radio show, that others, books that are out there that are anointed by you, Father, will help to heal people, will help to bring hope to them to know they have value. There is hope for full healing and being able to live to the gifts, the talents you have blessed them with. Again, thank you for the privilege we have to talk to people, to encourage people, to let them know they are your sons and your daughters, Father. We give you praise through your Son for eternity. Amen.
Amen. I loved what you said about the oops thing. Say that again.
God made us and did not say oops.
I love that. Is that yours?
That is
mine. Did you come up with that? Because I think that is so awesome. We are talking to Randy Powell. And if you'd like to look at his website, it's www.journeyscounseling.com. And you can go on there and learn more about what he does. And you have how many therapists?
We have 28 therapists at the moment.
Right. And you said that one of the biggest functions is that you you use your therapy for pastors. Was that correct?
We have quite a few pastors who do come. We support the local churches. We go and visit churches as needed to help with maybe a crisis that's gone on, a death in the church family. We may come and help the whole church, a problem that and consult with the pastors and staff on how to help deal with the crises that do arise in the church, as well as offering counseling at our counseling center.
Church is full of hurting people. The world is full of hurting people. And here you're talking with Randy, who's helping with those hurting people. And I just thank you so much for being on our show today. It's been really wonderful. I've learned a lot. I don't know about you out there, but I've learned a lot. And we have a word that I use for every show. And I asked Randy to pick the word for the show. And the word he chose was regenerate. And isn't that amazing? It's like regenerate. Yes, we need to regenerate, don't we? And our God is a God of second and third and fourth chances, and that's why the reword is there. And so the word for today is regenerate. So is there any other parting words?
Oh, thank you, Sue, so much for this time and this honor to be able just to talk and share with people the word of God and the hope that comes from knowing that Jesus Christ is our Lord.
That's so awesome. So now, you know, we are forgiven. I love this song. It's just such a great song. I just challenge you to dare to believe and to realize that you are forgiven. The devil would want us to believe that we're not and to keep us isolated, but God wants us to be full of joy and full of His love.
Child, you're forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven and child, you are loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved.
The Sue Free Show is sponsored by Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services.
Are raising insurance premiums making it unaffordable to offer quality benefits to your employees? Well, before you throw in the towel on providing affordable employee benefits, call Denon Simpson Insurance Services, the benefits specialist. Denon Simpson saved her clients over $4 million in premiums last year while offering extra benefits like heart scans, stroke scans, even chair massages. Let your employees know how much you appreciate them by offering them a comprehensive benefits package that's easy to manage and affordable. Denon Simpson serves companies throughout Southern California. Clients like Make-A-Wish, A American Self-Storage, the Foursquare Denomination, and ministries around the world. They love an opportunity to save your company thousands too, while providing a culture of wellness and safety. If you're responsible for the health and safety of your employees, call Denon Simpson Insurance Services today at 818-676-0044. That's Denon Simpson Insurance Services for a free evaluation. 818-676-0044. Denon Simpson, the benefit specialist.
Ah, springtime. It's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy and they start looking for a home, your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects. Ecola has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. Ecola keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way. And their termite control is legendary. So call Ecola today for a free estimate of complete pest and termite control at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS.